Hello and welcome to All You Ever Wanted to Know. I'm Jordan Patswell. Joining me in studio today, trio of guests, Heather, Linda, and Joe. They're all with a dementia support group for caregivers. It's great to have you all here. Heather, good morning. Welcome to The Rock.
Thank you. And glad to be here.
Joe, welcome to you as well.
Thank you so much.
And Linda, good to see you.
Good to see you too.
Yes. Well, again, here we are going to talk about dementia support group for caregivers. Important to note here, the emphasis on the caregivers. When it comes to Alzheimer's and dementia, there is a primary person who has that disease, but it's something that really does affect the entire family, the support group around that individual who, in a way, themselves are like a patient. They also need a lot of help and support. So let's backtrack a little bit. How long has this dementia support group for caregivers been around in Yorkton and the surrounding area? Joe?
Well, I'm not quite certain about that. I know we've been involved about 12 years, but I think it was many years before we first came to the support group for our own needs.
Okay, so what does this support group look like? Let's talk about exactly who these people are, if we can, for a little bit. Are we talking these are primarily spouses? Are they friends? Are they sons and daughters? Is it wide-ranging when it comes to the people that come to this group?
It's really everyone. There's spouses, there's siblings, there's friends, and there's sons and daughters that are looking after their aging parents. Some are in the workforce and some are not, the caregivers, I mean. And so there's so many different parts of the society that are a part of the caregivers.
So what do these meetings or get-togethers look like? How often are they held and that sort of thing?
They are held the second Wednesday at 2:00 of every month. The new location is a Yorkton Crossing, and they offer support for the caregiver, especially when they are in the throes of the caregiving. There's so many different stages, but the caregiver becomes more and more isolated as the caregiving increases. And these groups are for anybody, any stages. It just is a real life support system and helps us learn to also look after ourselves. It's a time for self-care too.
Yeah.
Because we do become very isolated after a long period of time.
So when it comes to the support that maybe someone is looking for as a caregiver, what is that like for someone who may not have a family member with Alzheimer's or dementia? What sort of things does a caregiver sometimes need from others? What exactly kinds of help are they looking for, I guess, from what people have come through the doors? Like, what exactly kind of help are they looking for in some ways?
Well, I guess by the time we got to the meetings, my husband and I, it was almost like a life support for us because our whole world revolved around the caregiving, and we became very frustrated. We didn't know how much longer we could go on doing what we were doing, and it's such a mixture of emotions, you know. There's a love and there's a guilt that you can't do more, and there's a guilt when you feel angry. There's all kinds of aspects and all kinds of stages. And then my mother, too, also ended up having Alzheimer's. And I was fortunate because she was very happy in her illness. But it still takes its toll on us. And sometimes we just need not to feel alone.
And so a group of others going through a similar experience.
It really, really helped. And even through the years with the loss of our loved ones and others going to the group, they've lost their loved ones too. A lot of us continue to go just to be supportive to others who are going through all these different stages, because once these things start happening, there's it even that is unique because nobody follows exactly the same pattern. Some people have decades of caregiving that we know of, and some people have a few years. Everything takes its toll, you know, and it takes a long time to recover after caregiving. So we've been there for each other. These are just some of the things that are coming on the top of my head that our group has given me.
Right. Linda, how about for yourself? Can you share a little bit about what brought you to the group? How did you hear about it? And what you experience when you go to the group yourself?
Mm-hmm. Sure. I think it happened about year 2013 when I found out my dad have something different. And like forgetful or something like that. And I say, oh, what's going on? And then I found out that has a dementia support group through the rock radio station that one morning.
Okay.
I said, hey, I better write down the number. And then that's I found out. And then I went there. That is the first time I started in the year 2013. And I learned a lot in the support group. Like, it really helped me a lot. And in the group, we have a different people there, they have a different experience, and we helping each other out and see, we sharing the experience too, and I just love that, and then I know how to deal with my dad. If not, I will be like angry every day. I don't know how, like frustration, and yeah. I don't know what to do or something, but through that dementia support group, I really do learn a lot. I just encourage people will come and join us. We laugh together, we cry together, and we just have a good time. And, you know, like, I mean, a good time is.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I just want to say it's very helpful.
Great. Yeah. Well, it's good. And everyone's story, I'm sure, a little bit different, but yet similar at the same time. And that's really what it's all about, is letting people know that they can find comfort with others going through potentially something similar in a broad spectrum, but then still specific at the same time. So when it comes to the groups and meeting monthly, how does it look exactly? Like someone might be worried, like, oh, can I just jump right in with the next one in March? Does it work that easily? Do I have to wait for like a cycle to start? Like it's a program that session one, it starts down the road or something along those lines. And if I jump partway through, I'm going to be lost through it. What does that look like?
So we've since moved. The meetings used to be at the hospital, at the long-term care center here in Yorkton. Yorkton Crossing has now provided the space for the dementia support group to meet. Our address is 348 Morrison Drive here in Yorkton. We are also, to further help people who may want to attend this meeting, if you do have a loved one that you're caring for and can't attend a meeting like this because of that, we're offering a drop-in program so that you can bring your loved one. They can have some activity in our memory care unit with trained staff free of charge while you attend the support meeting. We do require a registration if you do need that service. However, if you do not, just show up. The meeting is at 2:00 on the second Wednesday of every month. This first one will be, I believe it's March 7th.
8th.
Is it 8th?
March 8th, yeah.
Oh, sorry, March 8th this month. Just come to Yorkton Crossing and we'll direct you where you need to go. It isn't something you need to wait for a cycle for. It's nothing that you need to feel hesitant about. The sooner you jump in, the sooner you have the support of people who are experiencing what you do.
Again, you're listening to All You Ever Wanted to Know. We're talking today about a dementia support group for caregivers. Emphasis there on the caregivers, because they certainly need to be looked after as well. Often with those with Alzheimer's and dementia, it's been diagnosed. They're now carrying on with it. But now we also got to consider the others who are affected. Now, Joe, I'm kind of curious. There might be someone thinking it's like, oh, I probably shouldn't. My situation probably pales in comparison to someone else. Like, I have a loved one, they're in a long-term care facility, and I don't actually go see them anyways. So my story is probably completely different than someone who's actually living with someone maybe with Alzheimer's or dementia. So it's probably not for me. It's probably just for those people who are in that situation. Feel free, I guess, to nullify those claims, because it really sounds, just from what I'm hearing, it really is open to everyone regardless of their situation, because there's no telling how someone and someone's feelings might be at.
That's exactly right. First of all, I just thought of it too. These support group meetings are confidential too. And I just want to make sure that that is mentioned. But you are right there. It doesn't matter what the involvement with caregiver, even those not going to visit those that are in long-term care, they may have feelings of guilt. These support groups may help them learn how to go and visit them, because we learn a lot more understanding of what is really going on. A good example is one person I know we thought was very, very deaf or just being stubborn. Or we asked him, we said, "Can you hear us?" And he said, "Yes, I can hear everything you say, but the words are all jumbled up. It doesn't make any sense to me." See, these are things we couldn't comprehend until we were fortunate that this person could tell us that he could recognize this was happening. Not everybody can. So these sessions, and there is much more information out there now than there was 15 years ago about dementias and Alzheimer's, but these groups are, these support groups are, they just give so much, because we learned from other people how to handle different situations, and the meetings are open to anybody. A lot of people have their loved one in long-term care, and they still do go see them, but it involves a lot of travel, and mm-hmm. It's just everybody can benefit from it. And learn how to deal with those feelings.
Jordan, the other thing too in these support groups, you know, even if you aren't going to visit your loved one, coming to the support group isn't going to net you judgment from the participants. It's going to net you an understanding from people who maybe would have liked to make that same choice themselves or didn't or couldn't. You're not going to be judged for how you are receiving your loved one's illness. It's experienced differently by each of us. Mm-hmm. And part of participating in a group like this is getting to hear those experiences, getting to hear how your feelings are coming out, how you are coping or not coping. So you won't get judgment no matter how you are handling your loved one's illness. You will get support.
Mm. Now, as well, when it comes to a meeting, I know that's how they're framed and worded. I'm curious if you can provide a bit of an outline, what a typical meeting does look like. Is there someone leading? Is it just everyone gathering and you kind of have to mingle yourself into a discussion or a conversation with a group of others? How does it work so that someone coming in for that first time just kind of fits right in, doesn't necessarily feel worried about whether or not they're going to find someone and be able to talk to someone? Mm-hmm. What does a meeting really look like, and how is it led?
Okay, I can take that one. Usually we try and sit around in a circle, and the facilitator or whoever is handling that meeting that day will introduce themselves, and then tell a part of, I would usually tell a part of my story, just, and my story is very long, so I just tell a part of it, otherwise I'd take the whole 2 hours. And then we usually just go right around the room, trying to keep in mind that everybody deserves time to speak. And many times there are side conversations, but we do try to respect everybody and give them a chance to explain what is going on in their life that day, because every day is different when sure. you're a caregiver. And then that is for about roughly an hour and a half, and that time goes so fast. Quite often it's longer, and nobody has ever complained. And then we usually have milk and dainty, or coffee and dainties, and then everybody interacts with each other and shares, oh, some of the laughter and the funny stories and the sad. It's just a wonderful place to kind of just really heal and know you're a part of.
If there is anyone maybe a little bugged or put off when you say laugh, because they might think, oh, you know, Alzheimer's dementia, no laughing matter, if you will. But I'm just curious, like, can you elaborate more into what you mean by when you're laughing with others, and just to clarify exactly what that means exactly.
Okay.
Just because obviously we know we're not laughing at the
Not at the person.
Correct.
Just at some of the funny things that happen. And just for example, we're on a farm and one of our tractors had no brakes, and my husband and I were going away for the weekend, and the tractor got backed partway into the river backwards, and the only thing that was said as my husband's dad came up by the shop was, "The water sure is deep this year." Nothing else. And we just left it at that because we knew we had to go away that weekend to see my ailing parents. And we figured, well, good, he can't drive the tractor on the weekend while we're gone, you know.
It's already in there.
It's just those kind of things. And nobody got hurt. And, you know, the big thing is that there was never any ill will intended by any of that, you know, and
sure.
That's what the meetings got us to understand. But funny things do happen, and everybody has stories of funny.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think it's good just to have a bit of clarity too for some people, because they may be at a place where someone maybe just recently diagnosed. So it is a very emotional time for them. Laughing is the last thing on their mind, if you will. But like we've been saying, you know, everyone's situation is different. But through life's difficulties, there can still be the happy moments or the joy or the things that can put a smile on your face that can help make life be a bit more tolerable than always focusing or even dwelling on having a loved one diagnosed with Alzheimer's or having dementia or something like that. So,
yes, because you know what? Dementias never improve. Mm. It never gets better. And so that's the bottom line.
Hmm. Yeah.
You have to learn to cope some ways. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways that the support group will help you cope and hopefully avoid things like caregiver burnout or fatigue or any of the many names that are used for that particular set of symptoms. Now, taking care of yourself is an important part of avoiding burnout, but finding humor in things is a really good way to keep things from getting to the point of seriousness where you feel you can't cope. Mm-hmm. And the truth is, there are a lot of funny things that happen. Mm-hmm. And if you're so serious about them all the time and not acknowledging at least that humor is a part of it that is not as devastating as what the disease actually is and what's happening to your loved one, if you can focus on some of the humor, if you can focus on the companionship and support that you're getting from people you're meeting with, it can just make things that much easier and you that much less likely to reach a point of burnout.
Well, it's a very good point of just how you can look on certain things that happen in your life. Are you going to, I think I have heard the line, you know, are you going to be better or bitter in a lot of ways, right? It's how you can look at a certain situation in your life. Like my wife might get mad at me, but she's teaching right now, so she won't hear this anyway. But it's like how my 18-month-old last night, he pooped in the bathtub. And so are we going to get mad at him for that, or are we just going to laugh in the moment that he had absolutely no idea what in the world was going on and why we were laughing?
Well, the reality is, Jordan, is when you're caring for someone with dementia, they might also poop in the bathtub. So, or do things that are just so completely inappropriate and out of character that you have to laugh. It's it's not the most wonderful aspect of the disease, you know, but as caregivers and being immersed in that constantly, it's painful to watch your loved one suffer. It's painful to endure those things, but that doesn't mean that you can't still have moments with that loved one of joy, of connection, mm-hmm. Of all the things that you had with them before they were ill. They're just in a different form now. They just look different than what they did when that person was well.
Yeah.
So you can still find those moments.
Mm-hmm. And you know, you mentioning those positive moments, it just one came to me, my father-in-law, I used to plant lots of flowers and he could never figure this out. And then this one day, just the last summer that he was with us, he stopped as he was walking up the ramp and he touched a flower and he looked at it and he said, I see why you do this now, Joe. And that was a beautiful gift he gave me that day, you know, mm-hmm. understanding. And
yeah,
it was pretty special.
Well, it's awesome that we do have this group in place in Yorkton. Again, anyone from the area, welcome to come on out to it. Second Wednesday of every month. Again, the time in the afternoon. And again, it's at Yorkton Crossing. I just forget the time though that it starts.
It's at 2 p.m.
2 p.m.
And at Yorkton Crossing, 348 Morrison Drive. Again, our phone number is 782-0005.
Okay.
So if you'd like to get more information about the group, we can connect you with Linda or Joe that way. And if you'd like to just attend the meeting, you don't need to call and register unless you are needing care for your loved one. But otherwise, just attend the meeting, 2 o'clock on the second Wednesday of the month, and find some people who will support you and give you the tools you need, hopefully, to work with your loved one and find a way through this disease.
Now, Linda, Joe, for both of you, I know you've lost your loved ones. They've passed, but still deeply involved with this group. Why is it so important to both of you that you're involved with the group, even though your loved ones are now gone?
Well, first of all, because I would like to help people. And I give them my experience when my dad had that dementia. And plus, I still have my husband and my auntie, uncle, who knows, maybe one of these days they might have that too, eh? And then I will get more experience from the others, because dementia is, they have a different stage. And everybody have different experience for sharing.
Right.
And I can just, you know, learn more from them. And then if I can help them, I'd love to help them.
Excellent. Yeah. Wonderful. Well, thanks to all of you for being here today. A great way to leave the program at that. Was there anything else, though, you wanted to get out there before we wrap it up for today on the program?
No, just thank you so much. We're just trying to create more and more awareness of the support group meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for having us.
Excellent.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Excellent. That's all the time we have for today on All You Ever Wanted to Know. Again, special thank you to Heather, Linda, and Joe. Feel free to give them or even us here at The Rock 98.5 a call if you want more information about anything going on with this dementia support group for caregivers. That's our program for today. Until next time, have yourselves a wonderful day and be blessed.